Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
All right, we'll play some Sports at Leisure coming up an hour from now. $25 at Johnny's Tavern on the line. Talked a lot of Royals in the first hour. Winning a rubber match for the first time this year, sitting at 19-13. Only a couple of games out of first in the juggernaut American League Central, which is what everybody predicted. And a lot of NFL football the last hour or so. Right now, getting a chance to talk to Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, the Yahoo Fantasy Show, a guy who I've been excited to talk to since the Chiefs selected Xavier Worthy in the first round, and also just in general because of his ability to break down wide receivers, whether it be at the NFL level or the college level. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I appreciate you having me. The Chiefs receiver room has been a journey the last few years. There's no question about that. But it's a fun group to talk about, and it's an offense, obviously, that's a fantastic environment for any receiver to land in.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because most everybody around here, as you could probably imagine, Matt, is pretty excited about the Xavier Worthy selection. And even those that might have had a little bit of a concern when he was drafted have come around to the, you know what, I see why, let me get pumped. I'm ready to go. This is so awesome, you know. At first, like, I hate the selection. You know what? Love it. Love it now. Which generally is sometimes the seven stages of fandom maybe you go through instead of grief and things like that. But
yeah,
I wanted to have you on because I love that you don't offer the same sort of overall sort of geeking out to that. So I'll just start with your trepidation. Not that you don't like Worthy the player, but what's the trepidation or the pushback maybe from you with Worthy to the Chiefs at 28?
Well, this is great because it's funny, you know, in the pre-draft process, right, you're evaluating players, you know, not to say that, oh, we on the outside have it so hard, you know, me and my website, we have it so difficult because that's obviously not the case. But when you're evaluating pre-draft, you're really, in a way, you're evaluating receivers for all 32 teams, right? You're just saying, like, hey, at least in my mind, hey, if I'm starting an expansion franchise and we're building a receiver room, you know, how do I want to stack these guys up from a rankings perspective? That's how I look at it. That's how I evaluate receivers. Now, when you look at Xavier Worthy through that angle, I just don't think he comes out as like a true round one player because it's just there are a lot of teams where this type is not going to work out. Then he gets drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, for me, look, if I was building an offense, I would love for, like, five Pat Mahomes, I'd love for them to have just, like, a true X receiver, outside-the-numbers guy that can consistently win against press man coverage. I'd love to see Mahomes play with that guy, but I'm not making the picks here, right? Like, obviously, that's what Brett Veach and Andy Reid are doing. And I can see the vision with a guy like Xavier Worthy on this offense. So it becomes one of those situations where I like Xavier Worthy's projection a whole lot more post-draft than I do pre-draft, just because landing in this spot, I have a lot of trust and faith in the coaching staff, especially with coming off what they did with Rashee Rice last year. We could talk about that later if you want. After coming off what they did with him, I trust them to put receivers in a position to succeed. So when you look at Xavier Worthy and just sort of the overall trepidation that I have with him as a player, like, yeah, of course, there's no question the speed is there. He showed that at the combine. That's real. That shows up on tape. He wins on nine routes, 62.5% success rate on nine routes in reception perception, 73.7% success rate on post routes. Like, he is a guy that can absolutely get you deep. And in my opinion, he's more of a real receiver than some of these speed guys we've seen in the past. Like, his success rate versus man and zone in reception perception, and for those unfamiliar with my process, I'm starting these guys independent of production, independent of quarterback play. So it's just, how often are they getting open and executing the assignment on each individual route that I chart over an 8-game sample? His success rate versus man and zone are pretty good. They're in a very solid range for a prospect. Where it falls apart, though, is against press coverage, right? 59.5% is a 20th percentile score. His contested catch numbers are not good. Mm-hmm. That's just never going to be his game at his size with where he's at as a route runner right now. Again, there's a lot of positive ways he can impact the team, but I think he's going to take some catering in terms of alignment and deployment, which, by the way, like I said, I have a lot of faith in Andy Reid.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about as well on what would have been Friday about, you know, he does have some issues when it comes to press coverage. And I don't imagine very often Xavier Worthy will be lined up on the line of scrimmage against a bigger cornerback right in front of him and will just simply go from a standing start, right? There might be some motion. There might be some slot. You might have a little bit of time to offer, you know, a get off, to get around, to, you know, change the direction of a cornerback before the guy, before L'Jarius Sneed puts his hands on you like he did Tyreek Hill, right? So you don't have to worry about that. But I think that's certainly something that, that is an issue with Xavier Worthy. And he's not going to grow, you know, 3 inches and gain 15 pounds, okay? He's 6 foot. Although, Matt, I do believe the Chiefs may have the best strength and conditioning staff in the world, because Xavier Worthy was 5'11", 165 at the Combine, and now he's listed at 6'1", 172 for the Chiefs roster. So I'll tell you what, if he grows at that rate...
I love that you even said that, because, like, this is the funny thing that we do with players coming out of the combine and really honestly just throughout the course of their career. Like, he was 5'11", 165, and ran a 4.21 on that day. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that he's going to be that every day forever for the rest of his life,
right,
both from a size and a speed standpoint, right?
Like, yes.
Because this is the thing. He can gain 10 pounds and be 175 pounds. But then he's probably not running a 4.21, which, by the way, maybe that's okay, right?
Yeah.
If he runs a 4.28 at 175 pounds, well, I mean, who cares? Even though it's great that you break the 40 record. I mean, Marquise Brown, who's on the Chiefs roster, I had a great conversation with him pre-draft years ago, where I sat down with him in Nashville, and we kind of had a little bit of fun with the idea that people were labeling him as a 166-pound receiver because that, or some, whatever, he weighed in at the NFL scouting combine. And, you know, his point was, I'm coming off of foot surgery, okay? So, like, I haven't lifted weight, like, real big compound weight. That's just not real, mm-hmm, right? So, these players grow and develop and change over time, and maybe Xavier Worthy does that, and maybe that's helpful for his game.
Yeah, he weighed 165, so he could run a 4.21. So I don't know what he's going to weigh when he plays football. I'm guessing it's not going to be 165, because he's not trying to run a 4.21 on an NFL field. He's trying to just simply be a receiver that has that speed and needs to play a little bit bigger. Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, Yahoo Fantasy Show. One of the things that I do offer as, you know, devil's advocate to the excitement around Xavier Worthy is the archetype that Andy Reid loves and wants to have, whether that be shorter, gadgety players or speed guys or something like that. The comparison and the draft sort of profile of this is the guy he's looked at as being with DeSean Jackson, and even like, okay, you look at thinner players, hey, Devonta Smith that's there in Philadelphia. I am not a fan of using outliers as examples, right? I mean, This is DeSean Jackson as Devonta Smith. Look, they did it. Yes, and here's an entire pool filled with players who were that size that didn't do it. So are you betting on the exception, or are you betting on the historical trend? That does worry me a little bit with Xavier Worthy.
1,000%. I think DeSean Jackson, like, there are the history of the NFL draft is littered with ghosts of, you know, failed DeSean Jackson comparisons. Generally, my red flags start going up when people are comparing players to DeSean Jackson, Deebo Samuel, and Anquan Boldin. That's kind of like the holy trinity of guys of, like, one-of-one, very singular types. I think Devonta Smith might get into that range at some point. He's kind of another smaller, leaner receiver. Because the thing with Devonta Smith is, like, that was a guy that was small, lean, coming out of college. But he showed you an incredible ability to beat press coverage. He has an 87th percentile success rate versus press in reception perception as a collegiate player at Alabama. And he was so good, he won the Heisman. Receivers never win the Heisman, right? And he, again, bring it back to the reception perception data, well, like I mentioned with Xavier Worthy, he's down there at the 28th percentile. Like, so Smith is just a different beast at that size. And You know, there have even been guys that have come out in recent seasons that have been smaller, that have just been better than Worthy at beating press coverage. Tank Dell, I know he went in the fourth round, mm-hmm. or actually the third round, but he was a guy that was an 83rd percentile press coverage beater. So you actually saw reps of him doing that at the collegiate level. But again, even Tank Dell is, I think if Xavier Worthy is going to become a high-volume player, I actually think what the Texans did with Tank Dell last year is a really good example of that. Similar to what you said earlier, or what was said earlier, was, you know, you're going to have him off the line of scrimmage. You're never going to line him up at X. You're going to use him on some of these combo routes with another receiver who can play X. But that's kind of my question with the Chiefs right now. Who is that guy, right? Because Rashee Rice was not used that way as a rookie. Like, he was an interesting evaluation because at SMU, he played as like a pure boundary receiver mm-hmm. that ran a bunch of go routes and stop routes, pitches, curls, whatever. And, you know, he came out really poorly in reception perception playing in that role. He was also playing through an injury, but he was not a player who still might like playing in that role. And then you see in Kansas City, and pretty much the moment he hits the field, he's not doing any of that stuff. He's lined up as a big slot. He'd run a bunch of crossing routes. And that was a great plan by Andy Reid. Actually asked Rashee Rice at the Super Bowl when that plan came together. And he said, immediately as soon as I was drafted, that was what was conveyed to me, was I was going to be doing that. So, but again, he's playing as an inside receiver, most likely, unless they completely change his role, which I think would be ill-advised. Marquise Brown's a good player. He did play X with Arizona last year, but I think he's a guy who's probably better used in the ways that we're describing Xavier Worthy. So I do think that's still an outstanding question, but there's a lot of ways you can build these combo routes off with these guys to get them free and give them these one-on-one matchups.
Matt Harmon is our guest. I love that you bring up the holy trinity of comparisons with receivers of DeSean Jackson, Deebo Samuel, and Anquan Boldin, because I feel like this draft had the holy trinity. It was Xavier Worthy, DeSean Jackson, Malachi Corley is Deebo Samuel, and Keon Coleman's a big guy that can't get open, so he's Anquan Boldin.
Yep. I mean, that is such a good point. And it's a, by the way, a lot of those names that you mentioned are why I've been thinking about this in terms of that holy trinity. So, there are guys that you can take, like, bits and pieces from these roles. Like, I mean, Malachi Corley, I wouldn't say him is this guy, but, like, Xavier Leggett's a great example. I think there are ways, like, in the Deebo plan that you can use Xavier Leggett, but it's not everything, right? And definitely the Anquan Boldin thing always trips me up because there's just not very many receivers in the modern NFL that you see as like our below average separators mm-hmm. and can't, you know, they become like high volume players that you funnel an offense to.
Visiting with Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, Yahoo Fantasy Show. I'm a fan of a couple of things in transitions from college to pros, outside of just like, you know, looking at whether it be the combine or the height, weight, things like that. Route running, first of all, and then translation of success in the college level, sustained success, not a one-year wonder. Xavier Leggett scares me a little bit because he's in college for 5 years, and it wasn't until his fifth year that he had this huge mm-hmm. season. But translation of sustained success in college to the pros and your ability to run a route. Does sustained success, you know, Xavier Worthy, the Chiefs talked about it a number of times already about what he did as a freshman at Texas. So his ability maybe to adapt quicker. You know, there are other guys that had, you know, Troy Franklin had a lot of success over a number of years. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, those are sort of different level guys anyway. But do you pay much attention or even care about what the success and numbers and production was in college, whether it be 1 year or 2 or 3 years, as to how that may look as an NFL player?
I think that matters a ton, and like kind of getting you in the ballpark of a player, right? JJ Zacharyson does great work with the Late Round Fantasy Football podcast. He puts out a draft guide, a prospect guide every year, and he does a lot of work with just purely production, like prospecting through data. And it's funny because a lot of times, you know, he and I will go back and forth and we'll compare sort of like my purely, you know, film, which is what reception perception is. It's just evaluating the film. It's just watching tape and putting it into a rubric and charting it and everything. Like, you know, I'm not like a full team of data providers. It's just me doing this work.
Yeah.
Right? So we go back and forth on kind of our notes on players. And sometimes it's funny, like the production journey actually tells a pretty good story of who the player is on film. Like Xavier Leggett, again, a great example of a guy that he was from a stats standpoint, absolutely fantastic in that last season, but he didn't do anything prior to that. And even in that season, like, I didn't go back and chart all the games where he's, you know, not doing anything or whatever in the previous season, just starting this final season, there's a lot of times where you see, okay, here's where he makes a lot of plays on these kind of zone coverage crossing route moments, but he's still super raw as a route runner. Like, that technical time on task details are not there. And is he just out there winning? Because, like, he's been putting up these numbers since he's 23 years old. He's bigger and faster than everybody else. And he's just literally older than everybody else. He's more of a developed human being than the guys he's going across from. So these are things I think you have to ask yourself from just a production standpoint mm-hmm. and from an on-film standpoint. So it definitely matters for me. Like, I ended up those top three guys are all really good. Neighbors, Odunze, Marvin Harrison, they were all tier one prospects to me. The closest debate that I had with myself was, who's the wide receiver one in this class, Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze? And it was because from a reception perception standpoint, it's really tight. Those two guys are very close. Love the way they both project the NFL pro-ready X receivers. But Odunze, like, and Harrison, I mean, you just got to, I think, give it a little bit to Harrison there, that people have known he was the dude for so long and still was doubled at a higher rate than any prospect over the last 4 years that I've charted, and he was still incredibly successful. So, yeah, I think it's a way that you kind of help to break some ties.
Yeah, my immoral campaign to let everybody know all the terrible red flags about Rome Odunze did not work. I tried to let everybody know there's no way I would draft him in the top 31. I just can't do it. All those red flags. How could you take him in the top 32? Good value. Good value at number 32. 31, yeah. That's it. You got to worry about all the off-the-field issues. What are those? I'll tell you later. But right now, just trust me on this, okay? They didn't listen to me, so we'll see what the Bears do. Matt Harmon is our guest, Reception Perception, Yahoo Fantasy Show, hanging out with us. One of the things that I've wanted to ask you about is, you know, when you're studying of wide receivers in the draft and what we've seen over recent years, and, you know, it used to be the best athlete on the team played quarterback. And now we're seeing with 7-on-7, the, you know, spread offense, your best athletes are playing wide receiver or cornerback. They're playing different skill position players, and we're seeing that influx into the NFL. Are we witnessing sort of this, oversaturation, for lack of a better term, of wide receivers in the NFL, that there's just becoming a plethora of them, that is it then worth to draft them high if maybe we're seeing guys in the second and third round that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago might have been, you know, first rounders?
Yes, it's something I literally think about all the time, you know, because this is my profession, but also because, you know, I'm a dork. So, like, this is something I think about all the time.
And we all are.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, if we're making football content here and on May 2nd, we're all a little dorky.
Yes.
And I'm happy to be it. I'm thankful to the dorks that support the venture. But
yes.
You know, I was just putting together after the draft, like, my dynasty rankings for not just rookies but the entire wide receiver pool. And I'm like, shoot, I get the wide receiver 50, and I think this is still, like, a player I could see making a meaningful difference in fantasy football. And, I mean, that's crazy to say. And I, like, if I look at my real-life receiver rankings, it's pretty much the same thing. Like, there are players down to all the way to wide receiver 50, wide receiver, you know, 55, that I think are good quality NFL receivers, or at least have the potential to develop into that guy in a year or 2 years or something like that. So every year it feels like we're talking about a stacked receiver class. Even last year, 2023, where there wasn't a top 10 prospect at the position, right? The first guy goes off the board at 20. And I think that made a lot of sense for JSN, the top receiver, to go off in that range. There are still, like, a ton of good players that came out of that class. Like I mentioned, Tank Dell, Jaden Reed was awesome. John Kevin Wicks, his teammate in Green Bay, was really good. I mean, and Rasheed Rice in Kansas City. There are a lot of Puka Nacua breaks the rookie record as a fifth-round pick, you know?
Right.
So there are good receivers coming in the league every year. I do think that the guys who become elite players at the position, your Justin Jeffersons, your CeeDee Lambs, your Tyreek Hills, they are enough of a difference maker that, like, I think you pay them big money and you keep it moving and there's no question. But I do wonder if teams – I think Kansas City is one of these teams, by the way. I don't love that any other team would try to be like, oh, we'll just do what the Chiefs do, because 31 other teams do not have Patrick Mahomes, so it's tough to pull this off. But they're, I think, one of these teams that are trying to make it up in the aggregate in terms of wide receivers, yeah. right? Where maybe we don't have one number one, but we have a bunch of guys we throw the ball to 80 to 90 to 100 times over the course of the season. I think the Bills are trying to copy that a little bit, is my pet theory on that one. But, yeah, I do think that we'll reach a point where maybe teams start to eschew the idea of, like, the number one wideout and try to just have a bunch of guys that can fill a bunch of different roles and throw it at that one.
Yeah, because I've wondered for a couple of years when the bubble will burst of all the money that's going to wide receivers, and maybe you'll see that high level of guys. Tyreek Hill got that money. Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown got paid a lot of money, obviously, as well, just a few days ago. And I do wonder if it comes to a point to where teams go, the high level, okay, we'll pay Ja'Marr Chase, we'll pay Justin Jefferson that money, but we're not going to pay the guys that are right behind them $27 million, $26 million, because there's a guy that I might be able to get for $17, $18 million that's going to offer me 95% of what I'm getting for the guy at $27 or $28 million, or maybe even further down the line. Or there might be a guy in the second or third round that I'm going to be able to get that's yeah. going to offer me something. Like, I do wonder what happens to the second tier of top level receivers market, as opposed to the top tier will be there because those guys are, you know, elite guys. But I do wonder, like, the middle class and the second tier, what happens if there's a bubble that'll burst of teams just going, we're not going to pay you. Like the report coming out that the Bengals didn't approach $20 million in their contract negotiations with T. Higgins per year. Like, are the Bengals now pushing back on, no, we're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase, we're not paying you?
Yeah, I think they might be. And, like, they, by the way, they drafted Jermaine Burton in the third
yes.
round, who
yeah,
had a lot of character concerns coming out. But, like, to the point that I was stunned he went in the third round. I had heard a lot of people think he was going to go on day three of the draft, because you look at that guy on film, he has first-round talent, yeah. but he doesn't have a clean off-the-field profile. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they're thinking, hey, a year from now, like, we'll get Jermaine Burton a little bit on the field. We'll get his feet wet this year. And as long as he's, you know, on track and in the program and things are looking mm-hmm. good from a personality standpoint, he's ready to rock as our T. Higgins replacement in 25. I think that's possible.
Yeah.
And so far, though, like, there haven't been, it's just, there's always some sort of team that's ready to buy in these, for these secondary receivers. I mean, like Devontae Smith, right? The Eagles gave him $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, there was some fan pushback, like, whoa, that's their number two receiver. And I was like, well, just wait to see what their number one receiver makes, or number one receivers comparatively across the league. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, A.J. Brown's getting over $30 million. So I do think it's interesting just in terms of how, like, teams getting in a salary bind with multiple players. Even though, again, I just gave the Eagles example, and they're paying Jalen Hurts a ton mm-hmm. of money as well at the same time. They're also paying a running back, so interesting how they've been yeah. able to put that together. But teams like the Bengals, I think teams like the 49ers are in this position right now where they got past the NFL draft and they didn't trade Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. And, there's definitely a case to be made that, hey, we would just want to go into the season with these two guys. But if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'm like, there is no way I am playing on my fifth-year option. Because somebody will pay me.
Yeah.
Somebody will pay me that money. Somebody will give me Amon-Ra St. Brown money, and he deserves it. But can you pay both those guys on the same roster? I think that is where the interesting question will be, like, going forward.
Matt, we've kept you way too long. I got one last one for you. Is there a pivot coming, you know, with looking at Moneyball? It was, you know, on base percentage. People were paying a lot of money for the home runs and the power and the RBIs, and they didn't have the money for that. So let's just go ahead and pass the baton to the next person and find the value that's there. We've talked about how, you know, the Bengals, you know, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow. This was before they drafted Jermaine Burton. Like, can they afford all three of those guys? Whereas the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. They were trying to pay Tyreek Hill at one point, but it got too expensive. And then Travis Kelce. Difference is, Travis Kelce isn't making Tyreek Hill money, not making what Ja'Marr Chase money is. He's a tight end. Is the pivot trying to find more? And you know, there aren't Travis Kelce's growing on trees, but a Laporta,
right.
Maybe a Hockenson, maybe it's a Brock Bowers, maybe it's a Dalton Kincaid. Finding somebody like that where the top level price is like $15, $16 million per year and giving you something you can get from a wide receiver that their price might be $26 or $27 million per year.
Yeah, and it's crazy with the tight ends because they're asked to do so much,
yeah.
right? Like, I mean, I had a conversation with George Hill about how crazy this is, that you want these guys to produce, like, bare minimum a number two wide receiver, like a Devontae Smith, like the numbers he puts up, that you'd love that if your tight end gave you that. You also want them, ideally, to block, maybe not like George Kittle, maybe not at that level, but at least relatively, like get in the way, be willing and able. And just that, that's why we see tight ends develop slowly, is because so much is put on their plate from a year one perspective. It's really tough to bend the entire offense to get your tight end in a way that is super easy for them. And even if you do, like with the Bills last year, they tried to run out this year, and Brandon Bean kept calling it 11 and a half personnel. Right. And defenses are like, okay, well, that's 12, like that's 11 personnel. We're just going to put a nickel corner on Dalton Kincaid. And like, you know what? He's probably not going to win in that matchup because he's just not – he's not equipped to do that because he's just a tight end. He's not a slot receiver. You can call him a tight end. You can call him a slot receiver if you want, but ultimately he's a tight end. So it's interesting with that position because it really depends on the rest of your offense and the ecosystem around that player. Like, again, it's hard to take anything with the Chiefs because they have a one-on-one quarterback that you like. Just it's tough to make comparable to.
Yeah.
But with some of those other examples with tight ends, like, it helps when you have another threat to clear things out. I think that's what's going to be critical about Xavier Worthy on the Chiefs, to bring it all the way around. Like, that guy's going to make an impact even when he doesn't get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, way more than anybody else in the roster was last year. Cornerbacks and defensive coordinators are not afraid of MBS.
Nope.
They're not afraid of Kadarius Toney. They're not afraid of, you know, why Sky Moore was ever, I mean, I know I said that the Chiefs do a good job of deploying receivers. Why Sky Moore was ever lined up 65% as an outside receiver, I'll never know. I'll never figure that one out. Never made sense to me. But, like, nobody was scared of these outside receivers from a vertical perspective last year. They're only scared of Xavier Worthy, which opens things up for these volume hogs underneath in Rashee Rice when he's on the field, and Travis Kelce, of course.
Yeah, my only pushback, if nobody was scared of them, is that I think the Chiefs were scared of Kadarius Toney and MVS on the outside. I think that might have been the people that were scared.
Nobody on the other side was scared of them, which in an ideal world is what you want.
Yeah, you typically want the other team going, oh, no, we don't want them to do that. Not, okay, cool, you want to throw it deep to MVS? Great, go ahead and take your shot. It's going to be 2nd and 10, though, if you take that chance on first down, and we'll take it. Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, Yahoo Fantasy Show. Matt, I'm a big fan. I really appreciate you taking some time out today and continue the great work there.
I appreciate it. Yeah, super fun pick to discuss in Xavier, and always a really good time to check in on the Chiefs. Really appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. There's Matt Harmon. Again, check him out. It's great stuff. Reception Perception, if you know, we look at wide receiver play and what the Chiefs have done in revamping their wide receiver room, and he's right. It's been what a journey from Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill to then Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS and McCole, to then Kadarius and Sky Moore and MVS, and eventually McCole and Justin Watson and Rashee Rice as a rookie, to then Hollywood, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, and what they're going to be deploying this year. It's been an interesting sort of weaving back and forth. And in the meantime, they've got two Super Bowls in doing that. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about what he discussed in some of the issues that are there, but also issues with the player versus worry about the fit not necessarily being an issue. We'll take a time out in Warzone next. Sports and Leisure coming up at 1 o'clock. Thank you to Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, Xavier Worthy. It's interesting, though, as he talks about, like, specifically the player versus then the fit. Yeah. As in, like, okay, here's my issue, as he talked about. Here's the issue I have with Xavier Worthy, and that is his ability to beat press coverage. Like, Devontae Smith was almost 90 percentile in being able to do that. Xavier Worthy's down in, like, the 20s or 30s of being able to beat press coverage right at the line of scrimmage. And then, as he said, but with Andy Reid, an ability to use players in certain ways, using the motion, using the eye candy, that you don't expect it to be used to where he has to face press coverage very often, that he will get some cleaner releases off the line of scrimmage than just, hey, we're going to line you up on the outside on the line of scrimmage, and here's L'Jarius Sneed going right up against you.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you. Like, it's not going to be that. It's going to be moving him different ways, playing the slot, Z,
being part of, you know, that eye candy and being able to have a freer release there.
Yeah, it's a lot different being in Kansas City than in New England. Like, New England, good luck. Sorry, have fun. Kansas City, you're right. Andy Reid is going to use you a lot. And that was my concern, again, originally. And then once you see more and more about the fit and the schematic uses you will see from Worthy, I think the more excited you'll get. Matt Harmon's awesome. This is what he does is wide receivers. Like, I love talking wide receivers. The majority of people love talking wide receivers. Matt Harmon knows wide receivers. That's all he does. It's very impressive.
Let's hear from somebody else who knows wide receivers as he was one. Steve Smith, Agent 89 podcast. This will be clip number 4. And Steve Smith talking about Xavier Worthy, what he brings to the offense, and then a comparison, a comp, NFL comp, of what people are talking about with Xavier Worthy, and Steve Smith's commentary to the comp is what stood out here. So we'll take a listen.
Yep. But the Kansas City Chiefs need a speed guy because that's their offense. They want to attack defenses with leverage. They want to attack defenses with different kinds of window dressing. But ultimately, Andy Reid has a prototype. People don't like to hear this. Andy Reid has a prototype. He wants a big body guy who could possess, but then also he wants a speed guy who can actually catch the football. And then some other guys who can also maneuver and give you some yards after the catch. But Xavier Worthy just makes this team better.
The comp, Steve, as you mentioned, that Andy Reid has players he likes. The comp is not Tyreek Hill. We just look at speed. It's DeSean Jackson. Like, that's where Andy sees the comparison, is DeSean. He doesn't see the comparison in Tyreek Hill.
Hey, JP, as you say DeSean, you know how we feel about DeSean. DeSean's a different player. That's a lofty comp. Hey, if Xavier Worthy turned into DeSean Jackson, man, we're going to have a lot of questions,
I would say this. If that's the comp, I believe Xavier Worthy's route running, his route tree, may be a little bit more advanced and asked to do a little bit more than DeSean Jackson was asked to do in Philly, because in Philly, DeSean was not asked to do some of the routes that Xavier Worthy has already done and shows success in doing.
That stood out to me in Steve Smith talking about that, when it's like, okay, the comp is DeSean Jackson. And again, I push back on that because I don't like using outliers as the comp as to why this will be successful. Look at Devontae Smith. Look at DeSean Jackson. They were smaller body, thinner legged guys, wiry, and they've been really successful. Okay, you're using the outliers of guys who had that, you know, body type and were successful. And not meaning that Xavier Worthy won't be that outlier, but saying this is the guy he is. Well, James Palmer's saying, well, no, they don't view Xavier Worthy as Tyreek Hill, and we've talked about that too. Yeah. This isn't Tyreek Hill. They view him more in Andy Reid's offense as to what DeSean Jackson brought to the table. And then Steve Smith saying, well, I'll say this, if the comp is DeSean Jackson, I think Xavier Worthy is a little more has a little more refined route tree already, is that route runner. Yeah. What he was asked to do at Texas and what he showed he had the ability to do is more advanced than what DeSean Jackson was being asked to do in Philadelphia. Not that DeSean Jackson couldn't do it. What he's saying is what he was asked to do in Philadelphia. And I thought that was really interesting, hearing from Steve Smith, who, you know, watches all these guys and has his own big board and breaks down the wide receiver. Xavier Worthy was his wide receiver number 5. His top 5 went 1 through 5. It was Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Brian Thomas, and then Xavier Worthy. So he's a guy that studies the film and all of that stuff and looking at his route tree and saying, well, you know, I played at the same time as DeSean Jackson, and what he was asked to do versus what Xavier Worthy's doing. Worthy has a more refined and advanced route tree from what he's already shown he can do at Texas than what DeSean Jackson was asked to do, which does fly in the face of those that view it as he's just a speed guy, as opposed to a wide receiver that's really fast.
Yeah, I think DeSean Jackson's a good comp, although, again, it's hilarious. Harmon, the outlier, is also you're either DeSean Jackson, Anquan Boldin, or Deebo Samuel.
I love that. Matt Harmon said the holy trinity of comps that are, like, very difficult to actually have the particular skill set and be that successful is sort of the outliers.
If you're a quarterback, you're either Brett Favre or you're Tom Brady or Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys you are. There's no one else. And now it's Mahomes. Now you're getting the Mahomes mm-hmm. comps. It's always outliers because you it's tangible. You've seen those guys. You know what their game is like, and they're unique. So it's fun to try and predict players. But I do think DeSean Jackson is a more fair comp than a lot of other guys out there. The route running is very intriguing. You're right. That was great. I would love to go back and look at DeSean Jackson, what he was doing against press coverage, what he was doing at the line of scrimmage, how Andy Reid viewed him at the line of scrimmage, right? How he used DeSean Jackson. Now, I remember DeSean Jackson, mm-hmm. but I'm not going back and remembering every single thing he did in his Philly days.
I remember DeSean Jackson running free in secondaries
yes.
and catching
that's
the ball.
That's what I remember, but I don't remember that at the line of scrimmage, did Andy ever use an emotion? I know this is more of a newer age mm-hmm. Situation where now there's a lot more motion, but how did he get DeSean Jackson open, or was DeSean Jackson just that good at the line of scrimmage, not getting cornerback's hands put on him?
And I remember DeSean Jackson in the punt return against the Giants. You know, there's some DeSean Jackson things you remember. Also leading the league in yards per reception, what, four or five different times in his career, right?
Yeah.
This guy is 5'11 and 175, DeSean Jackson, and is a 1,000-yard receiver and almost double-digit touchdowns in the NFL.
He's like playing until he's like 40 almost as a receiver.
I mean,
insane.
Right.
2022. He played in 2022. He was 36 years old.
And didn't he lead the league in yards per reception with Tampa Bay one of those years he was with Tampa? I mean, it's just
it would have been 2018, 18.9 yards per reception.
How old was he?
774 yards. He's only 32 then.
He was 32 years old and led the league in yards per reception.
He played with Baltimore 2 years ago.
I don't remember.
You guys remember the DeSean Jackson Baltimore era?
That's right. It was Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But it was with Tampa when he led the league in yards per reception, right? Yeah.
I'm assuming 18.9. That was his third highest in his career, so I'd have to imagine. And that was the league leader.
I'll look it up. DeSean Jackson.
Has there ever been a more
reference?
Are you saying 2018? Because that was the Fitzmagic run.
Yeah, that was 2018.
Yeah, 2018, he led the league in yards per reception at 18.9. He led in 2010, so it was four times. 2010, 22.5 yards per reception. 2014, 20.9 yards per reception. 2016 in Washington, 17.9 yards per reception. And then 2018. So he led the league in yards per reception as a 24-year-old, a 28-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 32-year-old. Yeah, I mean, he's the outlier.
I got to be a little more specific when I say the Fitzmagic run, because there were many of those.
Which team?
Yeah, it was the Bucks version of that in 2018. Because he was the MVP, remember? When Pat and him and Drew were the initial MVPs, he was throwing for like, I can't remember how many yards a game. It was 300 his first five.
Yeah, it was
five.
Crazy.
Has there ever been a better player who was less decorated than DeSean Jackson? He only had three Pro Bowls.
Really?
Over 11,000 yards in his career. 17.6 yards per reception, 58 touchdowns in his career, three Pro Bowls. You look at it, he had, what, one, two, three, five seasons over 1,000 yards, so it wasn't like he was consistently going over a K, but five's pretty solid. 961 thrown in there for good measure. Has there ever been a better player who still gets talked about in this light? With less accolades,
I don't know,
than DeSean Jackson.
Because he just, I mean, every time somebody invokes DeSean, and I love that Matt Harmon said the holy trinity of comparables in the NFL is DeSean Jackson, Deebo Samuel, and Anquan Boldin, which is why then I invoke the, this isn't to take a shot at the Buffalo Bills because he might be good, but in this draft class, there were guys that were compared to that. It was Xavier Worthy, DeSean Jackson, Malachi Corley being compared to Deebo Samuel, and Keon Coleman was Anquan Boldin, a big-bodied guy that can't separate and can't get open in college. Well, Anquan Boldin couldn't separate. He couldn't get open in college. He couldn't separate the NFL level. Right. That's why Matt Harmon says it's the holy trinity of comparables, because you're talking about the extreme outlier, a guy who's 6'2", 220, and doesn't separate, but still has 120 receptions in a season because he's just sort of built differently. Are you going to count on Keon Coleman being Anquan Boldin? Or a number of other players that ran 4.67s and were bigger guys and couldn't separate in college.
All right, going to Anquan Boldin now. Fun game. I just thought of this, and I find this fun. Seven seasons over 1,000 yards.
Oh, wow.
Finishes career over 13,000 yards, 13,779, 82 touchdowns in his career. How many Pro Bowls?
Three.
I'll say two.
Three. What? Who? I get a lot of great receivers back then. But
not everybody made the Pro Bowl back then. Where
also true. And that might be the thing, because you look back and you're like, you always hear Anquan Boldin, and he's a great. Yeah, DeSean Jackson is a great. You look back, you're like, man, you guys played like 14 years, three Pro Bowls apiece? Kind of interesting.
What was Anquan Boldin? It was 6'1", 220. So what's Keon Coleman coming in? Because I know I've seen that comparison a couple times, and I'm like, man. And again, that's why I offer the – so it's not just a, oh, it's the Bills, so I'm going to take a shot at – no, it's why I offer the pushback of anybody that says Xavier Worthy, DeSean Jackson. Like, I don't want to use the outlier of a guy who was that body type and was that freaking good year after year after year after year after year, where I don't want to use Anquan Boldin for a thicker receiver, bigger guy, slower 40, but just caught everything and was incredibly successful. What's Keon Coleman? 6'3", 215?
Yeah, 6'3", 213. He was listed at 6'4", but they did the combine, and he was 6'3".
All right, he's probably 6'5 now with the Buffalo Bills since Xavier Worthy grew 2 inches.
Oh, good call. Let's look what the Bills have him listed
at. Yeah, that'd be great, yeah. That would be a concern. Like, he makes some incredible acrobatic catches. Like, Keon Coleman has the hand-eye coordination and catching ability. It's an elite level of the catches he makes in traffic. But there's also a reason we see so many catches in traffic with Keon Coleman is because it's difficulty for him to separate. And the Bills are looking for the bigger bodied guy for Josh Allen, where the Chiefs were not looking for that. The Chiefs were looking for speed. The Bills were not looking for speed to take the top off the defense or anything. It's the different flavors. The 49ers were looking at the more well-rounded wide receiver. They wanted Ricky Pearsall. Carolina Panthers wanted apparently multiple Jonathan Mingos on the field, so they went with the Xavier Leggett. The Chargers lost Keenan Allen, who's a guy that's just going to run an extremely well-run route and get open and be reliable. Ladd McConkey. You know, we lost Keenan Allen. Let's bring in Ladd McConkey. Like, those are the different flavors of what the teams were looking for.
Well, and for the Bills, Josh Allen, it's what your quarterback likes, mm-hmm. right? Justin Herbert, for as great as the arm talent is, he's not the guy that's going to throw deep balls. He throws a lot of these underneath routes, those 6 to 10 yard routes. That's what he does. That's how he operates. With the Bills, Josh Allen throws a lot of 50-50 balls. He throws a lot of contested balls. Well, then you want the bigger body. Mahomes doesn't throw 50-50 balls. We all almost want him to more.
I mean, people talk about they should get a jump ball guy. Why? He doesn't throw that.
If he doesn't throw it, and so the Chiefs have identified, okay, if he's not going to throw that, or we don't want him to throw it, however that is broken down, well, then why would we draft a guy if it's not going to be used that way? So you can make the case for all three teams. They got their guy because that's the type of guy their team and quarterback, those are the attributes that they employ.
100%. We'll take a timeout, come back, and wrap up the hour. We got Sports at Leisure coming up at 1 o'clock. More Zone next.